Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome Mr. Dennis Campbell, editor of the UK Progressive magazine, host and senior editor of the YouTube show Worldview. That's at youtube.com/worldviewshow. Dennis, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Dennis, it's our pleasure, believe me. You bring such an insight and fresh perspective from across the water. Well, we're talking about today's show, the big stories of 2013. You sent me your top five. You mentioned, for example, the Iranian nuclear discussions and, of course, the new moderate leader in Iran. How do you think that's playing in that interesting marriage of desperate convenience between Israel and Saudi Arabia and the U.S.? Sort of thrown a monkey wrench in their march toward war, hasn't it?
Well, it is, and let's just say that when you say the term moderate president, please always use that with parenthetical reference, because this is a bit of a wolf in sheep's clothing. And Dr. Rouhani has been around for quite some time. He's been a member of the inner circle for quite some time. He's a leading cleric, and I think what has happened is that the decades of sanctions have finally begun to take a bit of a bite there. And really what's happening now is you're seeing a bit of desperation, because financially Iran is in tremendous trouble. They're really not that interested in giving up their nuclear program, but they are very interested in, you know, making sure that the sanctions are lifted. Now, the interesting thing about this is that we hear President Obama, the allies, and others, including France, who threw a monkey wrench into the current talk, saying that they will not sign a bad deal, that verification and stoppage of a nuclear program must come before the release of any sanctions. But the monkey wrench that came up just yesterday was the defense minister, and I forget his name, but part of Netanyahu's cabinet, mentioned yesterday that if they feel the U.S. and the West have gotten a bad deal, they may attack anyways. So this is a bit of a dance of the dinosaurs in a region that has seen an awful lot of war and an awful lot of problems. Iran is known as the troublemaker of the region anyways. They will do anything at any time to upset the apple cart. They're very, very big in terms of their influence in the Iraq government of Prime Minister Maliki. They're very, very big in terms of being instigators of problems inside Jordan, where 2 million refugees have crossed into that country and literally threatened collapse of that nation. They're very, very interested in having a bigger role in Egypt, particularly when the Muslim Brotherhood were in control. So they are on this expansionist program in the region, trying to bring a version of Islamic teaching that is very theoretical and very clerical in nature, so that there's really no chance of these countries having anything but a clerical government, as you have in the religious government there in Iran. The whole Middle Eastern equation has been pretty much held up by the belligerence of Israel. They continue to expand, they continue to build settlements into these disputed territories that they're likely going to hand over at some point, or have to in any two-state solution there.
In terms of press issues, we've had a very curious year for the press. I'm thinking especially in the commercial press's relationship with the spilling of secrets and the uncovering of the kind of a ubiquitous big ear on all our telecommunications that we've heard from Chelsea Manning and now Edward Snowden. And, of course, this has taken some interesting turns in the UK. We had the British intelligence people come and insist that the Guardian destroy some hard drives, despite the fact that anybody with any technical knowledge knows that destroying a hard drive in one place when files are stored on what passes for the cloud is not even a charade. It's a sad little pantomime.
Yeah, it is. And the whole Edward Snowden case, it continues to unravel. And what's been interesting to watch over the course of the year is that, you know, when this stuff first started coming out in April or May, whenever he was first discovered and fled to Hong Kong, you know, the right and everybody were quick to jump up and including the administration, and say he's a traitor, et cetera, which is what they do in every case where sources and secrets are leaked. The interesting thing is that over time, now we're beginning to see that there are so many areas in which the government overstepped its bound, and because everyone was so involved in Syria and everything else that was going on, a lot of the revelations that were coming out in a timed fashion by him were completely ignored. Now, I'm not ready to brand him a hero by any respect of the imagination, nor am I ready to brand him a traitor. What he's done is he's broken a law. But it's a law that prevents any information from ever being disseminated, no matter if it is to point out that the government is indeed breaking the law. So he's caught in a bit of a catch-22, and I think it takes a lot of courage to stand up and say something in that instance. But what's more importantly is that you sit there and you look at these people, you know, the journalists that are inside that Beltway White House bubble, and the things that they grab onto. And then I watch several of them, like Ed Henry and Major Garrett and others, doing their stand-ups outside the White House and chatting with them, you know, one-on-one and having these conversations, to say, you know, why is it that these are so important? Because the rest of the world doesn't care about any of this stuff. Why are you placing so much on, you know, I wrote an article last week in UK Progressive on, you know, healthcare.gov 1.0 versus iOS 7.0. You know, when iOS 7 came out 2 months ago, you would have thought it was the end of the world. People shrieked, they screamed, etc. My sister had the best perspective on that. She said, you know, I'm not going to be Apple's test subject. When they get to version 0.0.3 or 0.0.4, I'll download it then, because by then the bugs will all have been worked out. Well, you're seeing the same thing with healthcare.gov. You're seeing that, you know, it is a major rollout of a major computer system, and I don't care where you are or what business you're in, a major rollout of any computer system is going to have glitches and bugs and foul-ups, and, you know, in some cases, just like we're seeing here, you're going to need to go back to the drawing board. And the hypocrisy of the GOP to say, you know, because of this, people are losing their insurance, when they don't care that 44 million people have no insurance whatsoever, was just astounding. And it was astounding to watch while I was there. I was there, you know, the end of October during the World Series as well. And it continues to astound me, the number of GOP people lining up now in outrage that Obamacare is not working. Now, the website's not working, but every other part of it's working pretty damn well. It actually has a pretty good future, you know, as far as, it's not perfect, but it's a good starting point.
We've seen an unprecedented, basically legislative gridlock since the election of Mr. Obama. Unprecedented number of candidates for office just turned away and not processed whatsoever. And now, with the adjustment of Senate policies to a straight majority, which is hyperbolically called the nuclear option, what's your take on that whole Republican obstructionism versus now going to a simple majority to get candidates through the Senate?
I mean, this is the one thing on this side of the pond that we look at and we think this is the most ridiculous thing we've ever seen. I mean, the purpose of the opposition is to raise a spirited opposition, to raise issues and to have discussions. But to think that they can also somehow suspend mathematics, it's unbelievable. Nobody would ever think to try and do that here. I mean, you either have, you know, a majority of a number of votes, and you have a whip that goes out and counts and makes sure you have the right vote before they bring something forward, or you don't. And that's the end of the debate. I mean, these are arcane Senate rules. And from my understanding, it used to be much, much worse. It used to be 70 votes before you could avoid cloture. Now, you know, we're down to 60. Now we're down to, on nominations only, you can have, you know, a 51-50 or 51-49 majority is all that's required to win. It just astounds me some days to watch the workings of this Congress. They've done absolutely nothing in the course of the last 5 years. They blame the president for everything. They say it's not racial. They say it's not anything else. But you look at the facts, the figures, and the way things line up, And they just haven't gotten used to the idea that a black man not only won the presidency, he won it twice. And you've really got to wake up and say, okay, folks, you know, this man has the authority to appoint judges. You may not like the judges, but he has the, you know, he has the ability to appoint ambassadors and people to head up agencies and whatever. And, you know, if it's the law, you do it, full stop. And I just don't understand the way the obstructionists, particularly Senator McConnell, have been able to keep this going for 5 years. I'm really glad that Harry Reid finally grew a pair and got out there and did something to get rid of it.
If you were going to break out your gazing stone or your crystal ring and look ahead into 2014, what do you think are some of the pressing issues in this beginning part of 2014?
Well, you know, both of our countries are going to be involved in election campaigns in 2014. You know, so you're going to see a lot of jostling for position. You're going to see a lot of blame going on. I think that, you know, President Obama will come back from all of this healthcare.gov nonsense, and people will begin to wake up and see that people are being covered, and that, yes, the few people that have lost those substandard healthcare programs will continue to make some noise. But on the whole, you know, you're going to see a huge spike in the number of people that are being taken care of and are insured, and that will move forward without problem. I mean, the biggest issue right after the first year is going to be the fact that you're not going to have a budget deal. You're not going to have the debt ceiling raised. I think you're going to see the Republican Party, despite their protestations, once again shut the government down, and they may even actually default on the debt this time. They're determined to punish this president, and in so doing, they will take the economy down with them. And I don't understand that. I mean, I do not like David Cameron. I respect the fact that he is the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, and I don't like his government. Yet I would not do anything, nor could I see any political party going to the lengths of the GOP Tea Party to stop him. You stop him at the ballot box. You stop him by getting people to turn out. You stop him in the election, which will happen here in May of 2015. But the campaigning has already begun as of the first of the year. In your country, you're going to have your midterm elections. The deck is stacked very much against the Democrats being able to take control of the House, but you never know what will happen. I think as they continue to obstruct and do nothing on immigration reform and do nothing on any of the major problems that are out there, it could be a very difficult side for them, particularly if they shut the government down at the beginning of the year.
Two other things I'd like to mention or get you to talk about. One is the ongoing troubles in Egypt. The Mubarak trial seems to be on hold. Morsi trial, I haven't heard too much about that in a while. I was speaking to someone from Egypt, and they said, boy, the economy's really perked up. Any final comments on what you see going on in Egypt?
Egypt has gone from bad to worse. You know, we interviewed a man in Minneapolis who's a frequent contributor to our program, and we also interviewed his niece, whose brother is being held in prison since the Morsi uprising. It is something that is very real, and it is something that is going to continue to be a problem. I think most telling, I read an item yesterday in the news that Holland America Lines and one other major cruise line, because of the turmoil, have ceased having cruise ships stop there. Now, tourism is such a huge part of what goes on in Egypt, and the continued turmoil and the economic impact of people not, you know, basically coming, you know, thousands of people coming off of these ships into Cairo and Alexandria and other, you know, port cities and spending money is going to be devastating. And the economy is still the ticking bomb out there. That I think that there's another public uprising coming in that particular country. Syria has devolved into outright civil war, and there's no end in sight for that. God only knows what will happen. And then, you know, you've got the instability that continues between the Palestinians and the Israelis. You've got Iran, you know, all the things we talked about at the top of this show that are going to continue to be an issue moving forward. But I think Egypt has, you know, General Sisi is trying to do the right and moderate thing. The problem is, will the Muslim Brotherhood, the people that supported it, go along with him, because they are now a powerful force? The problem is, will the, you know, other people and other religions, the Coptic Christians, will they go along with it? Will women get rights back again? Will the military ease its stranglehold on the government? All of those are to be determined. It's really going to be a nasty situation.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Dennis Campbell, UK progressive publisher and also the senior editor of Worldview on YouTube. Thank you so much, Dennis.
My pleasure.
Take care.